Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Actions and Consequences Are One. Therefore, all actions are consequences. This truth is brought out in a very poignant manner in the Book of Amos. Amos was told of Yahweh Elohim to speak to the northern kingdom at a time of great prosperity and impressive military prowess. And so Amos was told to speak or to herald the word of God in a smooth, that is, from human view. But Amos was called of God to speak about the great spiritual problems of the world. And so divine was his thought, that is, as given to him by Yahweh. This particular book, this book of Amos, was written in, we believe, 7 BC and 7. And so the nation at this point had been, had existed for, that is, the northern kingdom and southern kingdom of Judah, had existed for approximately 100 years. Israel had struggled against the Syria cause, but then the Assyrians Syria, so therefore this opened up a prosperity for Israel under, that is, the northern kingdom under Jeremiah or Jeroboam. In chapter 1 of the verse 1, we read, the words of the Lord, the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel, he knew the earthquake in Uzziah, in the Judah, that is, king of the southern kingdom, and Jeroboam, and son of Jehoash, Israel, that is, northern. And verse 2 reads, he said, the Lord roared from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up and the top of Carmel withered. And so we have a very important statement, or we have very important information given in verse 1, verse 2, particularly in verse 1. First of all, the word here, in Hebrew is Debar, D-A-B-A-R. Debar is a word that denotes or speaks of dynamic action. It speaks of compelling action. It speaks of irresistible action. In fact, it is who they are, that the prophetic message is placed in an entirely new situation by Yahweh himself. Indeed, it is necessary for the prophet's self-consciousness and his self-understanding to realize that he has been placed in an entirely new situation by Yahweh himself. So his prophetic ministry, that is the ministry of the prophet, was one sometimes of a static revelation and a static involvement. Here, word means, that is, the word debar is the unity of address. What I want to bring out this and do today's show that in the ancient near this culture, the culture of Israel, settled in West Asia, of the state, there was the understanding of reality as a fabric or reality as a whole. Reality was never understood as broken up into body and mind. Reality was never thought of as being broken up into discrete packages. In the West, we have layers. We have what we call subconscious, unconscious, and conscious mind. This was never so in the ancient. Consciousness was intensive. Consciousness from a completely new cultural aspect in the meaning. Now, it may be difficult to conceive of that because we are in the West, or we have been under the tutelage of fragmented consciousness for so long that we think that the fragment, that conscious fragmentation, indigenous fabric of the universe. And that is just not true. And so, in West politics, West religion, West education, West theology, excuse me, our understanding of reality has told us that everything is divided in it, divided in speech. Even in physics, we say that light comes to us in quanta or packets of energy. And it is interesting that when the theory of relativity was explained to the Hopi Indians, the Hopi Indians could understand relativity. Now, I'm not talking about all the I'm not talking, but the construct of that theory be easily understood by them because of their language. Fascinating. And they're now, for the time of Amos, and the word that he was called of Yahweh, bring people, Debar, means awesomeness, that the word carries within itself the unity of the creative and predictive element. The word is also addressed and man, as well as dynamic. So this understanding of the Debar Yahweh as spoken to Amos completely revolutionizes our understanding of what the work of the prophet meant. And so a more accurate transliteration for us would be the word of the Lord to someone like the prophet. Because the word is in. And so this is very powerful. Amos is involved, he is completely immersed in the prophetic message, and therefore in the nation. So, what Amos will bring about to the people of God, what he will say to them, that God's people are an act of rebellion against the known God. They are still culpable for their actions. And so, in the in the book of Leviticus, are also culpable. They are culpable for their behavior. They are responsible for their actions. They cannot escape their actions. There are those in the West who believe that they can create dark scenarios. They can create evil in secret and perpetrate evil on others. Now, the particular term I'm using for evil is from the old English word "ra," and it means the breaking up or ruin of everything within an individual life. And within the last group, which is a very, very frightening. And so, because of the illusion of money, which Jesus calls a power, he uses the term, Jesus understood that money is not an earth. Jesus understood that money is not the mind. And therefore, money must use, understanding that it can be, and it is a power. So therefore, the legal genius Paul states that the love of money is the root of all types of evil. It is the root of all types of evil. So both Jesus and Paul understood the intrinsic power of money. God's people have been led away by material abundance, luxury, and we know that when individuals engage in certain types of behavior, what we call now we understand that the brain forms itself around that balance. So now we understand why so-called addiction, so fairly difficult break, because of the neurological involvement in the neurological. How the brain is stuff a dynamic and shapes itself around that gap. And so one of the greatest definition I have found for addiction was found in Testament 4, where Jesus delivered in the synagogue, and he talks about in great detail his ministry. And so in Luke chapter 4, he uses a very interesting term he talks about not his therapeutic, although therapeutic is the word that we find in the Greek that he speaks about the ministry of healing. Therapeuo is one word, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to the gospel before. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, or literally shattered. Perfect. And notice these words. He preached the gospel to the poor, that is, to the oppressed, or to the diseased. That is, to those who need. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, or to preach forgiveness to the captive. And this captive that, and it means taken at the point of it means prisoners of war, and therefore those taken. This may be very powerful. Most certainly, this behavior was in evidence during the time of. Most certainly, Amos has speech into duration which individual has chosen for. But individuals also respond to, during the time of Amos, were responding to the spirit of the age, to the lack, to the relative that they were told would be without. And so here is an ancient picture of Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair, the writer speaks of individuals who are no longer in, but who have become mere masks of themselves. They were merely mere behavioral surface. There was nothing depth to their personal. This is the essence of Vanity Fair. And persons have been reduced to mere behavioral circles. They join in the public. And here is a perennial fat cheese thing. Vanity Fair, here's a perennial party. And so, such individuals do not believe that actions and consequences are one or separate. But Amos teaches so. These individuals do not believe that actions and consequences are one, and so they do not believe, therefore, that all actions are one. They believe wrongly that they can escape, or they don't care. They believe that they will escape the consequences of actions, but no one in history of humankind has consequences of his or her action. Now, individuals may, and they do, attempt to go on and see hurt and to bring ruin into the lives of others because it is their conclusion that they will escape and that there are no consequences to their actions. Or they join together in secret organizations formed around satanic worship, formed around the doctrines of devil. And so this is their understanding. This is from Ecclesiastes 8:11. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. This is Ecclesiastes 8:11. Once again, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. And so it is that space, it is that time, it is that delusion, understanding of that, that actions and consequences are not, that moves individuals to believe that therefore their secret actions, their clandestine plans, will not be discovered. And if they are discovered, after they have been put in place, that their plans are going to go according to the algorithms they have put in place because, oh, why not? You have the money, you have the power, you have the ability, you have the resources. But what these individuals do not understand is that God is in control. God is in control. And so, well, one can be dismissive of the theological language that God is, but when we move to chapter 3 of Amos, chapter 3, verse 1, hear this word. The Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I have brought up out of you. Notice again that I brought up out of Egypt. And he is here speaking of course, about Exodus, which means the way out. The way out. That is what the term Exodus means. And if God has done a work in your life, God has done a personal Exodus. As he performed a personal Exodus on my behalf, Amos goes on to say, you only have I known. Hebrew word is known, not chosen. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Word for sins here in Hebrew is avam. It means perverse. It means a depraved action or crime. And the root of this word avam means to bend or twist. So, again, if the people do not voice their understanding that actions and consequences are one for a fabric, God will most certainly that they will receive their due for their actions, whether good or bad. Actions and consequences are one, therefore all actions are consequential. Paul would write in his letter to Galatians this very same truth. And Paul addresses the haughtiness of individuals who do not believe because of arrogance, pride before Paul. And so Paul writes in 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth upon his flesh, shall out from his flesh the harvest of decay. For he that soweth the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, a few months ago, there was a movie called Shade So-and-So, and in the summer movie for football tickets, he was titled, like, spoke the title, and some things boggle my mind. Paul states, verse 7, be not deceived. Pride was before the haughty spirit before fall. We read this in the wisdom of one of the books of the book committed to, I should say, that is the Proverbs. And it is important to understand that thoughts, and that this is Proverbs 16:18, pride goes for destruction, or and a haunted spirit before fall. Is the Hebrew word for pride, gayon, and it means pride. Pride is an inordinate opinion of one's own importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as played in the behavior. Or in daring for life. So pride faces destruction or breaking, fracture, or crashing. Amos spoke this message to people because people needed an accurate diagnosis of their condition to say, we're going to. But they actively resisted the message of God. And this resistance further impacted their hope. If they were resisting knowledge about their treatment, therefore, there would be consequences. These Dr. Cyrus. Oh, my.